What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to another episode of the New American Dream radio show. We're glad you chose to listen to us, and we hope you'll enjoy it and come back. We've had a number of comments on our website recently, a real flurry, which is unusual. We like to see it. All the comments have to do with something I read several months back. It was a letter by Julius Alafong called "A Letter to President Barack Hussein Obama," and it has to do with what was going on in Africa then, but it's spurred a bit of controversy, actually. People have been writing, complaining that Obama is wonderful and we shouldn't, you know, nobody should expect him to take care of Africa. He needs to take care of his own country first and blah, blah, blah. And we actually we have a response by the original writer of the letter, I thought that was pretty interesting. You can read all these things on our website, theshow.newamericandream.info, and just look for the recent comments. I'm going to present a kind of a review of Johnny Moon that was sent in a while back. See, it was see if I can figure out who it was sent to. JP, I'm not sure who that is. Well, anyway, this was sent directly to Mike. I got to see a copy. So here's what it says. "Well, I finished Johnny Moon and given it to my wife to see what she thinks. I really liked it. I think it'll stick for me. Your little boy and his classmates, the young nuns, the two black guys, the smoking priest, the doomed secretaries, they're all good. Plus JFK and his messages. Strong boy, and we do it because it's hard. And how they stuck in the imaginations of kids and grown-ups alike.
I like the pride of the Catholic school in the new president. My uncle did one of those 50-mile walks back then with his dog and a friend. Anyway, it all brought me back to elementary school and how ideas and relationships worked and became important back then to everyone involved. How kids keyed off grown-ups, also how grown-ups needed kids, who were maybe like little mirrors for them. Like when your young nun slumped down the playground wall once and sat on the ground next to Johnny and just sighed, talked to this guy next to him. Life seen from waist high. All the cues Johnny was given from the little hand waves down at the waist from serious grown-ups. The mystery of the gliding nuns, who were mysterious others as well. You caught all this. Also relayed what seemed like important notions in with it. Well, if you haven't read the book, you might not know what some of that was talking about. But I'm hoping maybe it piques your interest, because it's really a very, very good book, and I heartily recommend it. Hope you'll check it out. In today's world, we have the U.S. supporting sanctions on Iran's central bank, doing something else to Iran, continued propaganda about the nuclear capabilities and so forth, all this stuff. Set up, I think the only question is, when will the actual invasion be? Probably sometime soon. Maybe they'll do it on Christmas Day or something. That would be a nice Christmas present for people, don't you think? Meanwhile, they're invading two or three other new countries, plus the seven we were already in. And our police state at home is wrecking, the areas where the Occupy Wall Street or Occupy whatever city have set up, locking people up, beating them up. It's getting pretty interesting out there. There's the Senate has okayed a ruling to keep U.S. citizens in military custody indefinitely and without trial. Speaking of police state, right? And as I mentioned, the Occupy protesters have been harassed all over the country, especially in L.A. recently. They gave people 7 minutes to gather their belongings and decide to leave. Well, that's about all I have right now. So now I'm going to turn the show over to my friend and co-host, Mike Palachuk, an American writer.
Chuck, tonight we're going to welcome poet David Ray in Tucson and Frank Cordero in Des Moines. He's an old friend of mine from my protesting days in the 80s, but his protesting days have not yet ended. He keeps going and going and going. I just want to make a note that we're pre-recording this on December 1st, Thursday. This show, you'll be hearing it on December 8th, and we do that because of my weird work schedule. But anyway, I have an update on the Occupy movement. I had said before that I hadn't made it to the Occupy movement, but I finally made it out to the Duluth group, and I was a couple weeks ago, and I was able to talk to the people and sit in on a meeting between them and the Duluth police, and the Duluth police said they had to get a permit, and the Occupy people said they were not going to get a permit. The police came in one morning, and they took away the tents. There were no arrests made, and that's kind of where we stand in Duluth, as far as I know. And then, as Chuck had mentioned, the L.A. Occupy movement was taken out, I think it was yesterday morning, and no arrests were made, and they did the same thing. They took all the tents. And I got an email today, quite a few emails from the Minneapolis Occupy movement, and what they had done. They had, the police made a move last night, and the Occupy people are setting up again tonight, somewhere at the, People's Plaza. I don't know if that's a real place or a Occupy, name for the place. Anyway, it's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American Russian novel All we need is more vodka radio hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Some of those who have spoken the truth, you may notice, are no longer here. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. The relatives have sent them to Siberia with the roll of their eyes. And perhaps you have also spent some time in Siberia for similar offenses. So let us begin. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There is no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see. No JFK documents that will not be opened during our lifetimes. There is no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police. No evidence from Ground Zero taken away before we can even look at it. We are not the USSR of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That's our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who have brought about this long 10-year war and debacle to trial and put on TV just like OJ every afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really living. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, they all know that, and yet they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They kill and continue to kill. They allow others to die and continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. What we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country, because our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission. We need to put certain people on the stand. We need to be allowed to ask questions. The troops are not protecting us. That's someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, and someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. American bases overseas serve nobody but the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones that go face to face with the empire. And you have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. He lied right to our faces on national television when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, and Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 and 2004 elections. And see, there is a plane right there in that hole in Shanksville. It went all the way into that hole, and no, there is no blood and no bodies and no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rock and chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie, and the killer is in the same house with us still. These killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. The following was presented way back by President John Kennedy. He said, "We are not afraid to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people." February 26, 1962, and that's what it's all about, folks. That's what we are asking at the New American Dream, the opportunity for a free and open airing of ideas. And it may seem on the surface that we have that now, but if you think that the current setup of major media in the U.S., from National Public Radio to the so-called nightly news on TV, is a free and open airing of ideas, we think you are mistaken. We believe it is actually to be compared to the Soviet Union of the 1960s, the American version, that is, of totalitarianism, where there can be no honest discussion of who actually did 9/11, who actually killed John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King. And that matters. It matters a great deal. For the successful clamping down by the corporate big-time media on dissenting ideas has led to endless war and endless profits for a few people. And that is what the Occupy movement is all about. We believe that is what is needed is the truth about our history, which might also lead to prison sentences for those responsible for many atrocities committed in the name of American freedom. So be it. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people. We cannot be afraid.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
We wish to give a shout-out to those listening and on the Armed Forces Network tonight. Ships at sea, military bases in 900 countries around the world, the U.S. Special Forces snipers in the Khyber Pass in Afghanistan, the Oakland Police Department, the correctional officers in Terre Haute Federal Penitentiary, the Immigrant Detention Center in Phoenix, the COINTELPRO spies in the Minneapolis Occupy Movement, the BOP snitches in the Chicago Metropolitan Correctional Center, and the Homeland Security undercover lunch ladies in the kitchen of Regis Jesuit High School in Denver. Thank you for the work you do in keeping us all safe and able to worship at any church that we want to, and sitting wherever we want to in that particular church or synagogue or teepee, and having the freedom that not everyone has around the world of taking whatever street we want to take, any route whatsoever, to get to that place of worship. And when we get to that place of God or Yahweh or Buddha or Bubba or Alan the Alien or the Almighty Sun God, that we, and not everyone in the world, has the freedom to do this, to park wherever we want to in that particular parking lot that we choose our own selves as Americans. And then when we walk up to that building or teepee or grass hut or adobe temple something something, that we can walk in single file or as a group to that particular church or place of worship as free Americans. Thank you for all that you do and for tuning in and for killing who needs to be killed and locking up however many people need to be locked up so that the rest of us can be free, free as Americans. And not everyone has the freedom to do that, to go to church and then go home and pig out and watch the football game and take a nap and then get up and eat again. Thank you for your service. You are heroes and protectors. Amen.
Tonight's first guest is poet David Ray. He's been on our show before. He's a much decorated poet who's also been a visiting professor in various places in the world, India, New Zealand, Australia, and as well as a number of American universities and colleges. He's currently living in Tucson with his wife, Judy Ray. David, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. First thing I want to say, having heard that list of heroic defenders of our country, is to express my respect for them, but also confess that I do not agree with some of their convictions, and that's in my poetry, particularly in my previous book, The Death of Sardanapalus and Other Poems of the Iraq Wars. And I'm a Quaker, and I am very much against war, and I respect very deeply the Occupy movement. I wondered when they first came forth why they didn't explicitly add objection to the war. But then I realized later that there was no need to, because in criticizing the 1% from the 99% perspective that we're members of, I realized that they are implicitly for stopping the war, because it is the 1% who are making money off the war and the munitions industry, and so they don't need to say they're against the war. It's implicit. But I just want to read a few poems, and I hope those who have different convictions will, that we can have mutual respect, because I really respect them, and they're sacrificing their lives, although I consider that unnecessary for the most part. The first one I'd like to read is called Papa Hemingway, and there's a reference in it to Hemingway's poem, The Killers. Sometimes I imagine him as coming back, the way my father should have. Or maybe I could find Papa in the diner and think of myself as the boy Nick, sent on the famous errand, the one that made the Swede tremble in his rooming house, so much like where my father lived the year he sweated night shift in a Kansas smelter. There is no way, I am quite sure, that either Papa could once again tread this earth or greet me. And yet I am often on alert, like those who look around for God or gold, or expect ecstatic rapture that could never be. And the second poem relates to my book, The Death of Sardanapalus and Other Poems of the Iraq War, also. And the epigraph at the beginning of it is from my poem in that book called To a Child of Baghdad, which is about children killed at the time of shock and awe. If you knew these bombs, you would love them. We give them pet names. We keep them spit-shined. We throw people in prison for insulting them. And they are smart. That's how they found you. A young man came up to complain, after a reading, that one of my poems was unpatriotic. Did I want to take it back, apologize, or clarify? Which one is it, I ask, for most of my poems, I should hope, are unpatriotic in a sense. I think of Olaf, the CO, whose strongest heart recoiled at war, and Thoreau looking out from his cell and others in prison for... oh, yes, I replied, one of those six killed by our smart bombs on the first day of shock and awe. I guess they weren't so smart after all. That's not funny, he said. Our pilots work hard not to hurt innocent people. I think a poem like that is treason, and you ought to be thrown in jail for it. I guess my poems are my smart bombs, I said. And this short poem is called Gridlock. Now that we, with our vote, tried again to end war, with our votes, we watch as dreams of peace crawl along, and some of us recall Vietnam and the other noble wars, some for oil, all for greed, regardless of who's our president. And I grieve for the loss of life on both sides, and there shouldn't even be sides, there should be mutual respect and negotiation. I'll read a short poem called After Garcia Lorca. When you wake before the other and feel you're standing guard, although you have no weapon, and your house seems made of straw, is it not a good time to give thanks? Consider the red rose waiting for dawn, although its petals tremble from warplanes. And last, I'd read a slightly longer poem called We Modern Souls. It's got an epigraph from Eugenio Montale, the Italian poet. One pays dearly for a modern soul. Like news anchors and other announcers whose passion is the repetition of their own names, I numb my mind and voice to the horrors, for it would be rude to speak of them as I might mention a fender bender or report a dead squirrel on the road. Surely there is no cause for alarm. We have learned to step over bodies, come to share, even with children, the crimes and the autopsies. No matter how graphic, the horrors no longer sink in. It's not that our skins are impenetrable, but that like bombardment from electrons and pixels, we offer no resistance to what is shot through us. We were trained at Hiroshima, and our children have practiced with tireless returns, reruns of catastrophes. They saw the towers collapse, the planes coming in, and the trapped victims sleeping. Our grandchildren gaze at the films just in, the debris left on the streets by suicide bombers. As if with games on computers, they watch the village compound caught in gun sights, observe the silhouettes of the fleeing explode into puffs. They are acquiring modern souls, prepared to greet Armageddon as no more than expensive entertainment. So I very much appreciate the opportunity to share some of my poems, and believe me, those of you who might hear this in faraway war zones and places here where people are struggling to bring about equality instead of the gross inequality in our lives, that they will forgive someone who differs with them with all respect. Thank you very much.
David, thank you so much for the readings. Can you tell our listeners where they can buy your work?
Yes, they can look up my webpage, David Ray, poet David Ray.
David Ray Poet.
Pardon me, my wife just yelled at me. What'd you say, Ann?
It's DavidRayPoet.com.
Yeah, it's DavidRayPoet.com, and it lists six of my 20-some books.
Okay.
And I really appreciate selling even one copy. So anyway.
Yes, I...
It's funny, because everybody else, I mean, other fields are always on the sell. I mean, NPR, you know, it's half of it is commercials. And yet, when a poet says, please buy my books, people are horrified. That's not appropriate. So anyway, to have great poets, we must have great audiences, Walt Whitman said.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much for letting me read these poems. And blessings
to you, David, and I hope you'll join us again in a few months for a better world. Thanks and good night.
Thank you very much.
What does it mean to be free? Bye. What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
And now we bring you the New American Dream Masterpiece Classic Playhouse Theater Something Something. Real voices with a message you will not hear on the CBS Nightly News. Mike Prisner, Iraq War veteran. The real enemies are not in some distant land. They're not people whose names we don't know and cultures we don't understand. The enemy is people we know very well and can identify. The enemy is a system that wages war when it is profitable. The enemy is the CEOs who lay us off from our jobs when it is profitable. The insurance companies who deny us health care when it is profitable. It's the banks who take away our homes when it is profitable. Our enemy
is not 5,000 miles away. They're right here. Right here at home. And if we organize with our sisters and brothers, we can stop this war, we can stop this government, and we can create a better world. And now we hear the voice of Philip F. Nelson, author of LBJ, the mastermind of JFK's assassination. The man should be known for what he was, a world-class criminal. A thorough cleansing in the national conscience is in order after all of these years to enable Americans to reconcile the personal tragedy suffered by John F. Kennedy and the national tragedy suffered by the country at large at the hands of Lyndon B. Johnson until the real story of the 36th president is exposed and the complete truth of his crimes against the United States and the world are acknowledged. There will always be questions lurking about the trustworthiness of the government itself. And finally, a rare hearing of the voice of William Pepper, attorney for Sirhan Sirhan, now attempting to be released from prison for the 1968 murder of Robert Kennedy, on grounds that Sirhan was programmed to be a patsy and a decoy for the real killers, shooting from behind Kennedy in the Ambassador Hotel pantry that hot summer night. The American people have been called by numbers of people all over the world being the most dumbed-down population in Western civilization. Certainly, they're probably among the least politically and other ways sophisticated people in Western culture. It's no accident. And it's no testimony to the lack of intelligence and potential of the citizens of this republic. It's a testimony to the control of thinking and the flow of information that people are allowed to have. The effects of the media and the thought control that's been developed in this country is extraordinary, and it's very difficult to overcome. One wonders how long it's going to take for the uprising to occur. And I actually think we may be reaching a point where we're entering a pre-revolutionary stage.
I'd now like to welcome our special guest, Frank Cordero. Frank is an old friend of mine from Omaha. Back in the early 1980s, I first met Frank when he was a protest at Strategic Air Command, and Frank helped to paint the sign that said, "Peace is our profession," and Frank and others took paint to the sign, and they made it what it should say, war is our profession. Frank is a former priest. He was a Catholic priest from 85 to 203. He's a founder of the Des Moines Catholic Worker, and he lives now in Des Moines and at the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Frank, are you there?
Yeah, I'm Michael. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear you too. How you doing? You still got a little
doing
bit of time?
Well.
You okay with time for right now?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay. You said that before that you are in a place, you know, personally in a place where you want to be. Can you tell me what's going on in your life that you are so happy about and that makes you feel good about what you're doing?
Well, I'm 60 years old, and I helped start this community 35 years ago. So I've been walking the path of the Catholic Worker Movement, and I've been following the Berrigan brothers as my rabbis in a way of life that is an attempt to have a modicum of integrity measured by the gospels that are straight shooting and the desperate need our world is in for peace and justice. So embrace voluntary poverty, do the works of mercy, live in intentional community, acts of resistance, in and out of jail, 5 years of jail time logged in. You know, when I step back, and I'm still doing it, I couldn't be in a better place. I couldn't be a freer person. I have wealth beyond all telling because I can speak my truth to the powers that be, and I got a community that will support me in doing so. So it's a blessed thing. Plus, it's a place of privilege. That's another great burden because most people who are like me in the world would not live to be 60. They would have been killed through some kind of political violence. So all the more reason for those of us walk this path of nonviolence and following Jesus and confronting the empire, all the more reason for those of us of privilege to keep doing what we're doing.
You sound happy. That's pretty cool. It must be because you're, just like you said, you're doing what you want to do.
Yeah, you know, I like most people, you can get lost in the minutia of your everyday moment in life. But when I just even stop everything I'm doing or thinking and step a half a step back, I look around and say, my God, this is exactly where I want to be.
What you said you served five years in prison. Wow, that's how many 6 month sentences is that? That's is that 10?
Well, I think it was about 9 6 month sentences, and then a number of 3 or 4 1 month sentences, then a long line of 10 5 days, 1 dayers. Those are just numerous arrests. It's just a way of life. It's a path. It's not any one action. It's a spirit of resistance that has to, your body has to do what your spirit is calling you to do.
You know, the Catholic Worker, and you know, the Catholic Worker has a long history of radicalism, Dorothy Day, Peter Morin, and I know that's continued over the years, but to me, it has really picked up. I don't know, maybe it's just because I get more of your emails. It just seems like it's really picked up in the past few years, and I could be wrong on that, but could you give us just a brief rundown of the past few years of the different actions that you and the Catholic Worker group has been involved in? You know, like Kansas City, this and that, all over. I mean,
well, one of the things we do is we meet every year in Sugar Creek, Iowa. That's just way on the eastern end of the state, just about 30 miles from Clinton. Beautiful little retreat center. And we've been doing this for over 30 years. And the last few years, we've had over 200 people show up and 25 to 30 communities represented. Now, that's a pretty hefty crowd. In the last 9 years, I believe it was, we've done a spring retreat that had a resistance focus. So just to name, let's see, right off the top of my head, the different places Catholic Workers have gone on a yearly basis to protest. Would be St. Louis and Monsanto, then Minneapolis, Alliant Tech, then Offutt Air Force Base, Strategic Air Command, then Columbia, Missouri, counter recruiting, Chicago. The Works of Mercy at the Federal Building. There was a place that Blackwater ran in Illinois, northeast Illinois, and Galena. We showed up there, and a number of us got arrested. Kansas City twice, once for immigration issues. 16 people got arrested, and then just recently they have a new nuclear weapons parts plant they're building. At 50, some people get arrested. Been to Notre Dame protesting the presence of ROTC on that Catholic campus and its militarized mentality, which, boy, it's really dominant in that football atmosphere. This year in May, we're going to Chicago and try to be a peaceful presence because the G8 and the NATO alliances are all meeting in Chicago in May. Boy, that's going to be a hot spot. So we're the folks who, we're just Catholic Workers. We hang out with the poor, we live with the poor, and we're always out on the street corners, even if there's just 9 of us. 5 would be Catholic Workers, and no one would pay attention to us. It didn't matter. And then we're out there when 1 million people are out there, and they still don't pay attention to Catholic Workers. And you know what? We're bottom feeders, and it's okay. We're just doing the works.
Okay, now we get to what's happening today. And is the Catholic Worker the best? You must be involved in the Occupy movement. What's happening in Des Moines with
Oh, that's right. Our community has fully invested in the Des Moines occupation effort. 4 of us got arrested when the governor ordered the Capitol grounds cleared. And myself, I was in Nevada at the National Catholic Worker retreat there, and 3 of us got arrested there. So the same weekend, 7 of our community members all got arrested, 3 out of town and 4 in Des Moines. And then we've been supporting and involved in the local occupation crowd. We do the dishes. We take care of the garbage. We have two tents out there. We go to a lot of the meetings. And some terribly exciting moments here in Des Moines, in Iowa, the last of the year, when the whole political world pays its attention to the Iowa caucuses. And we're hosting the Occupy caucuses here in Des Moines, and we're asking people from all over the country to come join us, and we're going to have a people's caucus on the 27th of December, Tuesday, and then the next 3 days we're going to be organizing direct action, civil disobedience, and try to occupy the presidential candidates' headquarters to try to make some inroads into the political discourse that's been bought by corporate elites and push the agenda of the 99%, which is the people's agenda, which is the agenda of the common good, common sense, and a respect for the most vulnerable and innocent people in the world. So stakes are high in the world these days, Michael, and for a weekend at the end of the year, Des Moines and Iowa are going to be at the epicenter of the political discourse in this country. Sad as it is, this discourse, bought and sold by corporate America, but when you do what Occupy people are doing, you get a little piece of the pie and try to start changing the narrative that people are used to so they can see the lies and the criminals for who they are.
Frank, is this the revolution we've been talking about and dreaming about and singing about for so many years?
Oh, I don't know, Michael. Those are for questions for historians to figure out. We just have to be faithful. You know that.
You don't worry about if this is the big one or not. This is just a way of life, right?
All such talk is idle at best and gets in the way. The work's out there. Just start doing it.
Frank, you're from Des Moines, and you do all this in Des Moines. A prophet is not welcome in his hometown, but I'll bet you get along just fine, don't you?
I'm a schmoozer, so I get along with pretty much a lot of people. You know, those of us who are in the activist world in the Midwest, we have to learn to work with people who we don't agree with or don't necessarily are political correct type folks. We just have to have a big tent, because if you stay in your little sectarian corners, you're only just, you know, you're by yourself. So, and this Occupy thing has some interesting cross currents. We got the city government, the mayor in our camp, the police are talking to us like, you know, we're part of, I mean, the concept of the 99% means everybody's in the tent. And the 1%, I don't know anybody who's in the 1%. So it makes this whole thing changes the conversation. So we understand that what we're really dealing with is a disproportion of the goods that the world has to share with humanity, and it's rigged. It's a rigged deal, and Occupy is forcing the discourse to look at that. And gosh, that has not happened low these many years that I can remember. And this is one of those strange moments. Now, is that a revolution? I don't know. I'm not. That's kind of a language that doesn't help. I don't think. I think what we're trying to do, if we can move this country's political heart from the selfish corporate greed to common good and preferential option to the poor, hey, that's got to be good news. And people need to start wising up, because the vast majority of Americans continue to vote for candidates who are against their best interests. And I'm talking Democrats and Republicans. They're all bought out. We got to get the money out of our political system.
Frank, thanks
and
for taking the time.
I'm a Christian
really
anarchist, but I still see the problem, and I think it's worth doing, because to do that is to make us a little more closer to adjusting to what we really need to do, and that's dismantle the empire. Now that's a revolution.
Frank, thanks for taking the time. I know you got to get.
Hey, Michael,
you got to go wash dishes or something.
Go on and on.
Don't you? to, don't you have something you got to do? Isn't there? You're always busy, right?
Yeah, I got to go to a General Assembly at the Occupy Des Moines. We've got some proposals for the campaign. And invite everyone to come join us the last week in Des Moines. Occupy Iowa Caucus. Google it. Come join us.
Hey, Frank, how can people get on your email list? Can you give out your email address?
People can email me at frank.cordero, C-O-R-D-A-R-O, at gmail.com.
Thanks, Frank. Peace is our profession, right?
Yeah. You believe that? I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to send you.
All right.
I'll see you, buddy.
Have a good night, Frank.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Thanks a lot. Bye.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first. Some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Mitchell, Joe DiMaggio, Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe, Fallujah, Waco, OKC, Paul Wellstone, Bobby Kennedy. We started the fire. The world was just turning, but it wasn't burning. We didn't like it. We just had to light it. Burn it down, shock and awe, fire in the hole. Hold on to your hats, boys. Guatemala, Chile, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Guantanamo, Malcolm, MLK, Florida, Ohio vote, stolen by Bush, 9/11 inside job, Northwoods, Nicaragua, Panama, El Salvador, Attica, Terre Haute, Leavenworth, Lewisburg, Marion, Rikers Island, Lompoc, Folsom, Angola, San Quentin, Florence, Colorado, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Harry Truman, Paul Tibbetts, Gene Kirkpatrick, Gerald Ford, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Rush Limbaugh, drones murder in Pakistan, shock and awe in Baghdad, Afghan, Iran, fighter jet, Super Bowl, grassy knoll, Obama, no change, he's in the CIA, GFK, blown away, what else do I have to say? Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. The Occupy Mount Liberty movement, Travis, was camped out in the Best Buy parking lot last week. Travis is a student at Carl State College in Mount Carl. When he came home for Thanksgiving, he was looking to hook up with the local Occupy group, and when he found out there wasn't one, he got his backpack and his old tent from the basement and drove down in the olive green Tempest to the belly of the beast, the core of capitalism, and duct taped his tent to the sidewalk. He then taped a sign he'd used just last week to his tent that said, "Capitalism sucks," and sat outside on a folding chair strumming his new used guitar. Travis got a text from his mother asking him why he was on the sofa watching TV. He texted some friends from college to tell him what he was doing. Each time his LMFAO ringtone went off, he checked for some reply, and all he was getting were advertisements from Best Buy for phones, cameras, and video games. He took a try at a D7 chord and a full hard up and down strum loop while trying a high-pitched sort of singing, "Oh, yeah."
Travis kept strumming and humming and looked up to see a group of his old high school friends walking toward the Best Buy glass double door, walking slowly, looking at him, some smiling and some seeming embarrassed. One with his mouth wide and his hand pointing. Travis thought they might walk up to talk, They kept angling toward the far entrance, kind of bumping into each other, stepping on each other's heels, looking, not looking, waving, trying to figure out what Travis was doing, playing guitar with a tent on the sidewalk at the mall. Travis set his guitar on the walk and went to his backpack to pull out the bag of dry shrimp ramen noodles, sat down again on the camp chair he'd pulled from the garage on his way out. Travis looked for the police. He looked for any girls he used to know. He recognized some people, but he'd been away since August, and maybe he didn't know that many people in town anymore, he guessed. He checked his phone, found news about arrests and beatings of Occupy protesters in Oakland and New York City. He jerked his head to the right at a noise, a scuffling sound. Then grabbed his guitar out of the way just as two old ladies scurried close like mice caught by the first flick of the kitchen light in the morning.
The ladies had hold of each other's arms, trying to get between Travis's tent and the wall of the store in silent single file. "Hi, Grandma," Travis smiled. They stopped and stared. "Travis, that is you. We were wondering, why would the Cub Scouts be down here, and maybe they were collecting money to send cookies to the soldiers, and that is you. It's been so long since I've seen you. Your hair is long. You're tall. You're a grown man now. Do you have any children?" "Grams, I saw you before I left for school. Come on, it hasn't been that long. I was going to come over. I just got back." "You live here now, then," she said. "Well, in the Depression, there were homos everywhere asking for food, living where they..." "Hobos," corrected the other lady. "Hobos, yes. And times are tough, aren't they?" She looked at Travis as if asking. "I guess," he said. "I don't live here. I'm just camping out." "Oh," said his grandma. "Capitalism sucks," said the other lady. "Oh," said Travis's grandma. "So you're back for Thanksgiving, and then you'll be coming right back. And what are you studying at?" "Carl State," said Travis, "in Mount Carl. I'm taking general courses right now. I'm not really sure what I want to do yet. Dad wants me to be a lawyer. I think I want to paint."
And she was like, and what does your mother say? She's my only daughter, you know, four sons. And he was like, yes, I know. She says do what makes me happy. And she was like, and it makes you happy to sit on the sidewalk at the mall with your tent? Well, not really. It's kind of hard. It's strange. I feel funny, but it's for a good cause. People are doing it all over. The two ladies straightened up, still holding each other's arms. They looked around the parking lot for the rest of the tents. They looked back at Travis. "Well, you better get your shopping done," said Travis. "You're cooking again this year?" "Yes, dear. You'll be over tomorrow with your parents." "I don't know. I think I might have to stay here and protest." "Capitalism sucks," the two ladies read a sign again together. Then together they took to refining their shopping lists in their other hands. "Yeah," he said. "I'll be expecting you." She looked right into his eyes as they shuffled off, down the sidewalk, past the Best Buy door, down to Big Foods.
Travis strummed his guitar for a while more, then went inside his tent and took a nap. He got all up inside his sleeping bag and put on his headphones. He awoke feeling someone shaking his foot. He stuck his head out of his bag to see an arm wearing an official-like patch reaching inside his tent. "Can you come out here, please?" he heard when he ripped out his earbuds. Travis reached for his shoes and climbed out of his sleeping bag and pushed back the flap and looked up at a man with the manager pin clipped to his right front pocket standing with two police officers. "What's up?" Travis said after he climbed out, rubbing his eyes. They talked about what Travis was doing and why he was doing it, and the manager and the police said they were well aware of all that was happening and why Travis was there. "We support your right to free speech," said the smaller of the police officers. "I just can't have you blocking my sidewalk," said the manager. The police officers pointed across the parking lot to the grassy area next to the highway and suggested he move his camp over to that spot. but you won't be able to camp overnight, said one of the policemen, as the store manager wiggled, nervously wanting to get back to organize the doorbuster display. You can go to the park. Protest there, said the other cop.
Trappist looked at their guns and badges and black shoes and the manager's crisp, clean shirt and his watch and wedding ring, and then at his own tennis shoes, untied, ran a hand backward through his hair to smooth it back out of his eyes. I can't do that, he said. That's the whole point. We will not be moved. They'll move you. You'll go to jail, said the manager. The policemen looked at each other, then motioned for the manager to come a ways away with the talk. Trappist sat on his chair, his heart pounding. He could go to jail. He'd never been arrested. His parents would be out of this world pissed. He'd be in jail for Thanksgiving. He looked across the parking lot to the grassy area. The three came back to him. You've got until midnight, said the taller, older policeman. Then you've got to be gone. That's it. The manager stared hard at Trappist and then stormed away. The cops removed their hats, walked over to their squad car. Trappist just now noticed was parked right next to him with its lights flashing. And there was a small but interested crowd gathered.
Trappist texted his college buddies again and the National Occupy website contact and then sent the same email to all the Occupy groups in the country saying that he was facing arrest in front of the Mount Liberty Best Buy if he did not decamp by midnight. He then sent another email to all the same addresses, P.S., Central Standard Time, just in case they all wanted to pile into their vans and dune buggies and race over there. Trappist strummed and sang all afternoon and evening. He even wrote a song, writing the lyrics on the inside of a junior mints box that a girl handed to him as she walked by fast with her friends. He ate the candy and tore the box apart right on the inside part. He went out into the parking lot looking for something to write with, just knowing he would find it, and came back with a dull pencil stub that he deemed perfect. At midnight, he sat on his chair with his guitar across his lap, saying goodnight to the workers leaving, watching the parking lot grow emptier and emptier. He watched the highway and entrance for police cars, kind of wishing for some company.
At 1:30, Trappist climbed into his sleeping bag. He didn't wake up until 10 a.m. His mother texted him and the family with grandma in the seat, back seat, drove past about 2 in the afternoon. His mother handed him a brown paper sack with a casserole dish with stuffing, and Tupperware filled with green beans and cranberries and pumpkin pie. Trappist scurried inside his tent with the food like a squirrel with a rare nut. He had the best Thanksgiving meal he could ever remember, even though there was no spoon or fork. He saw the Best Buy manager come to work and then leave again in the evening. They even exchanged hellos and good nights and happy Thanksgiving. Trappist checked his messages for word from the Occupy movement about what he should do next. He went to sleep about 1, finishing off the rest of the green beans with the crunchy thing and then running his fingers all around the inside of the container.
In the middle of the night, he heard voices, exciting voices, laughing voices. He awoke, thinking it must be time for the store to open, but it was still dark. Trappist stuck his head out of his tent, and in the dark, by the glow of the scattered lights of the parking lot, he saw there were tents everywhere. Dude, he said out loud to himself. There was a line of tents behind him, and tents all over the parking lot, little shadows of hope. Trappist scampered out of his tent, falling on his hands and knees, and shot up and stuck a clenched fist into the air and yelled, right on, as loud as he could. Woo-woo, yeah! He texted his parents in the National Occupy Movement headquarters to tell him that the people of Mount Liberty were not taking it anymore. They were taking over, that he had received reinforcements. The manager is going to be so pissed. He closed his text with a triple exclamation point.
Trappist sat on his chair the rest of the night, strumming his guitar, humming, trying to get the D and E chords. At 4:30, the people from the tent started to come up toward the front. "Yeah," said Travis, strumming harder, putting a clenched fist into the air. More and more cars came into the parking lot. Travis figured he must have been in the paper or on the news. At 5 a.m., the store manager appeared behind locked front doors. Travis just knew he'd been rousted out of a deep sleep to come down and deal with a crowd that was going to take over his store, and he was not a happy camper. The manager smiled and waved at Travis, then the others behind him, pointed at his watch. The manager left, and Travis turned to talk to those behind him. "He's scared," he said. "There's a lot of us. This is really great. What's your name?" "I'm Travis. That's my tent." The people stared past Travis, looking over his shoulders into the store. Travis turned around thinking, "These people are really serious about this. This is great. I can't believe I'm here doing this. It's great." The manager reappeared with a key. All the people behind Travis, since he was first in line, said, "Go, go, get up there. Come on, what's the hold up? Get ready, kid." And Travis thought, "This is a revolution. Farm out. I'm leading it." "Well, all right then." He moved up to the door, gripped the handle, shouted through the glass at the store manager, "Open up, really, we mean it. Open up, are we coming in anyway?" The manager grinned wanly and checked his wristwatch. Seemingly satisfied, he covered a yawn with an open hand, pulled a key from his pocket, unlocked the glass door, pulled it open, and stepped aside. Travis felt a push of hundreds of people behind him, and he rushed into the store screaming, both fists in the air. He ran through the carpeted entryway as far as he could go, with the sharp jewelry display case pressing into his soft stomach. He looked around and wondered, "What do we do now?"
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO department store Santas are about average.
And that's it for tonight's New American Dream Radio Show. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll come back next week, same time, same place. We'd like to thank the World News Trust and spiritualun.org for sponsoring our show. And a special thanks to our producer, Elena Sanek. Be sure to stay tuned right here for Black Op Radio, his show, coming up next. Thank you and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. Good night, Mrs. Calabas. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.